Fry Orthodontics presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Your smile is just the start. Online at fryorthodontics.com.
I have this really queasy feeling in my stomach this week. It's just kind of floating around, and every time I start to feel comfortable, it kind of comes back, and it's just been on my mind, and I thought, I got to lead with this on the podcast today. This is, without a doubt, the biggest week for Mizzou in years and years and years. This game against LSU on Saturday morning is getting so much attention in so many places, but most importantly, throughout the state of Missouri and Mizzou Nation is where all of the fervor is really bubbling over. This is quite a situation and quite a setting for the Tigers, who are 5-0, and suddenly anything seems possible when you have a quarterback playing like Brady Cook and a wide receiver like Luther Burden that's just setting the world on fire and nobody can cover. And you start to recognize, even when you play a team that's better than you or maybe has a more talented roster than you, you can beat them because of these two players. You can go over the top. You can play pitch and catch. You can rack up 375 yards passing and four touchdowns just like that. Everyone that's watching Mizzou now sees this. Look, is it overconfidence because a 61-yard field goal was made at the buzzer against K-State or they won at lowly Vanderbilt? No, that isn't what it is. What it is the eyeball test. When you watch the quarterback play, when you watch the offense roll, when you see Luther Burden and the spectacular talent and athlete that he is, and a brand name like LSU coming in, and they are struggling, which is awesome. They're struggling defensively. They're really only struggling on one side of the ball. They're struggling defensively, but it is epic struggles on the defensive side of the ball for LSU. Mizzou could hit the halfway mark with wins over ranked Kansas State, ranked LSU, 6-0, should climb way up the rankings and probably start getting people saying, uh-oh, what happens when they play Georgia? What happens when they play Tennessee and Florida and Kentucky? This is getting really, really interesting for the Missouri Tigers, and maybe we'll actually see, if Mizzou wins this game, a shift change between the power residing from one division to the other in the SEC, because it's starting to look like there's a whole bunch of good teams in Missouri's division. Now, that timing isn't great for Mizzou, but the fact that they are getting better is also part of that. We watched Florida beat Tennessee. We saw Kentucky play beautifully against Florida. There seems to be an awful lot of teams in this division that can beat one another. Georgia is undefeated. They're the gold standard of college football right now, but they look beatable. They don't look perfect like they have. They don't. And anybody that's watching them knows that. Georgia right now has a certain status in college football that they're just sitting there and above everyone else because of what they've done the last couple of years. That's fair enough, but that doesn't mean they are this year what they have been. Alabama's down. LSU is down. The SEC is down. This is a great time to be a Missouri Tiger. College basketball recruiting is through the roof for Mizzou. They have the number one class in the country. They got another stud this week. My inbox is just filled with emails from Tiger fans that are having absolutely the time of their life. They're having the greatest fall they can ever remember. It's been 10 years since Mizzou was 5-0. They started 7-0 in 2013. This is nothing short of amazing. What they don't have yet, really, because the win is over Kansas State in a game that was sloppy by both teams, and it was a 61-yard field goal at the end, and it's shocked and surprised everybody. What we really don't have out of Missouri yet is that one performance that says, wow, look at that. Because beating Kansas State won't do that for you. Even if Kansas State's really good, and they may be. I don't think they're as good as last year. They don't have an explosive player like they had in Deuce Vaughn. I think that really hurts Kansas State that they have to go on these long touchdown drives and don't have a guy that can beat you. You know, they really don't go three plays, 78 yards, and score touchdowns. I think that's a problem for Kansas State. Their defense isn't as good as last year either, so there's some issues there for K-State. But they may be really good, and they may by the end of the year. The Missouri's win over them may look better and better. But you won't get people's attention around the country that you beat Kansas State. That isn't usually how it works. It's usually the other way around. When you lose to Kansas State, it gets your coach fired. That's normally what happens. So, yeah, that was awesome in these parts around the Midwest. Everybody that's a Mizzou fan knows how good that win was over K-State. But not everybody nationally will recognize that. The Tigers may actually be playing a lesser team this week in LSU. LSU can't defend anybody. okay? They can't defend at all. Brian Kelly, the head coach, the Tigers just brought in a former defensive line coach named Pete Jenkins to consult this week because they're so disheveled on the defensive side of the ball. They believe they're out of position, and they believe that their fundamentals are terrible. Ole Miss last week against LSU passed for 389. Though that's one thing. They also rushed for 317. You can't fix that in a week. I'm sorry. Ole Miss had 284 yards after contact last week. Missouri is going to score in this game, and they're going to score a lot. The question is, what will LSU do offensively? Jaden Daniels is a stud. He's got over 1,700 yards passing already. He's got 19 total touchdowns. They're really good offensively. There almost seems no chance that this game won't go high, at least into the 30s for both teams. Brady Cook's coming off three straight games with 356 yards passing, 341 and 395 with 11 touchdowns and no interceptions. Everything is pointing up for Mizzou. It is sold out. If you need tickets, you're going to have to call ticketsforless.com. That's the only way in. Don't forget the promo code, by the way. KKHI. If you want to go, ticketsforless.com, promo code KKHI. This is just the giant rocket ship of an arrow pointing up for the Missouri Tigers at 5-0, hosting LSU. And I can't shake this queasy feeling in my stomach. I don't think it's this week. I think Missouri wins this game. I do. I just, Missouri's defense has not been great. Their parts are better than their performance. They have better players than they've actually performed defensively. But they're there. And this is a game where you're at home. You got to figure you're going to get a takeaway or two. I think Missouri's going up and down the field and scoring in this game. I just don't think LSU's going to stop them. LSU's defense is horrendous. By SEC standards, it's horrendous times 10. By LSU SEC standards, it's horrendous times 100. It's epically bad. They're pushing buttons and changing coaches in the middle of the season. Missouri will score, and they will score a lot. That's a beautiful thing. But this queasy feeling I have is what? And maybe you feel it too, if you're a Tiger fan. Just when you start to get that confidence, just when things look great for Missouri, just when everything feels perfect and it's coming together and here we go and this is going to be a special season, Lucy pulls that ball away while you're trying to kick it. We've seen it before. There's something about Mizzou. There's something about the plight of Mizzou fans. K-State has it to a lesser degree. Kansas doesn't really have it at all. It's like being a Chiefs fan. So they don't get this. But Missouri has it in an epic fashion that a lot of other programs don't have. That they get there, you look at them, they clearly are as good as UCLA until Tyus Edney does his thing. They're clearly beating Colorado until there's a fifth down. I mean, there's so many things that have happened in Mizzou history that you can't shake a queasy feeling. Now, this isn't week 10. All right? This is the sixth game of the year. So there's no epic fail here in week 6. If LSU came in and won, which I don't think they will, if they came in and they won this game, we'd go, okay, Missouri's good. They're still a work in progress. This can be a great season. Can they get to 9 wins? What are they going to be? But the way they circled the wagons against Kansas State, the way it got loud, the difficult environment that it was, it's going to be even more so for LSU this week. It's going to be more difficult for LSU to go in there and win than for Kansas State. I firmly believe that. Now, LSU may be better equipped to go score 49 points with the stud offense that they have and their ridiculously talented quarterback. They're going to be hard to stop. And it could be a situation where if Missouri, let's just say the game starts, you know, Missouri goes out, LSU goes down and scores. Easy. They kick off to Missouri. Missouri gets a couple of first downs, and it looks good, and they get to midfield, and they fumble a snap and lose 5 yards on a fumbled snap, and now they've got, you know, third and 11 instead of third and 6 and don't get the first down and have to kick it away, and LSU goes and scores again, and it's 14-0 through really no fault other than you just weren't perfect on offense your first series. That can happen. If that happens, how does Mizzou react? I don't know. To me, they're not tested in that area. That's why I get this queasy feeling a little bit. The stakes aren't that high. The possible stakes are really high. They're just not at a point yet where you look at this and go, okay, this really, really, really matters. The difference between the season could be this game. I can't look at it that way. I think there may be three teams in Missouri's division better than LSU. Maybe more. And we can go up and down the schedule and take a look at it, and we can see out there that Georgia's going to be harder than LSU. That Tennessee could be harder than LSU. Kentucky's performance last week gets your attention. Florida's played great at times. They're different kinds of teams with real defenses that may be able to shut Mizzou down. But my God, this is Missouri's time. This is fun. This is what college athletics is about. Is it NIL built? Yeah, Missouri's doing really well in NIL. We can all see that. We see it especially in college basketball recruiting. Missouri's NIL is crushing it. And it is exciting to be a Mizzou fan. There is no question about it. I just can't shake the queasy feeling that I have that every time Mizzou gets to the edge of something really great, you just kind of get a cringe moment. And I'm not trying to jinx anything, I promise. I just don't think this is that week for that. I think Missouri wins this game. I do. But I can never, I've been doing this too long that I can't watch Mizzou get to these points and think, okay, well, it won't last. That's totally unfair to this year's team. That is completely unfair. They've done nothing but overachieve, excite us, and excel. They're a really, really, really fun team to watch, too. Their coach is outspoken. Their quarterback just dies to play for Ole Mizzou. That's all he ever wanted. Luther Burden would look great in a Chiefs uniform, but he's at Mizzou for a couple of years. I mean, what more could you want? Recruits are coming in. This is terrific. There's one footnote to this game where I got to bring it down a little bit. And I don't know that this is a wild card. I have no in with the LSU program. I don't really know. I've watched them play all year this year. They're on TV all the time. But other than that, I know Brian Kelly's under fire from his fans. I know there's a lot of pressure there. They have an incredible story that you're going to hear a lot about this week, I feel sure, about a defensive back named Greg Brooks that plays for LSU. He has only 8 tackles in 2 games, and he did not play last week in their 5th game. He started 12 games last year. He was getting vertigo, and he was getting dizzy. And they diagnosed him and found a tumor on his brain. And they went in recently, in the last week or two, and did a surgery and removed the tumor, or did a biopsy. They didn't remove it. They got a biopsy, and they got the results back. And on Wednesday, they announced this is one of the rarest forms of brain cancer you can have. And this is a key player on their team. And I'm certain that the players, despite all the noise around their program, love this young man. The prognosis is not good. Again, I don't know how I can state this without just feeling sick. But this young man was playing football 3 weeks ago. He was playing. 8 tackles in 2 games, and now he's diagnosed with one of the rarest forms of brain cancer after a biopsy. It's a stunning development around the LSU program. You'll probably hear a lot about it this week and maybe even during the broadcast. We pray for the best for that young man. This is not a football injury in any way. This transcends football and is so much bigger, and we wish the very best for him, his friends, his family, the people that love him. And football is the last thing they're thinking about right now as it pertains to Greg Brooks, their defensive back. So a really tragic and sad story in college football. A couple of other big games this week, and it is a marker game for the Kansas Jayhawks. Kansas got a couple of players said they got embarrassed last week at Texas. I don't feel like they did. I don't feel like they did get embarrassed. I think Texas is that good. I think it's a matchup problem for Kansas. I think when you line up KU's defensive line, which is Big 12 caliber, but that's all it is, against Texas, which is NFL caliber, and you get mauled at the line of scrimmage like Kansas did, you're just not going to win a 60-minute football game. Eventually, you're going to get worn down, pushed off the ball, and give up a bunch of yards, and that happened. KU was playing with their backup quarterback. The offensive coordinator was asked on Wednesday about Jalen Daniels' availability for this game, and the OC said there is no change with Jalen Daniels. What Coach Leipold said on Monday, there is no change from that. That status on Monday was he's hurt, he's not practicing. and we don't know. Typically, if you can't get out there and practice on a Thursday or Friday, you're not playing on a Saturday. So we don't know the status of Jalen Daniels as they get ready to play Central Florida, a team that can score a little, but in my estimation, does not have a Big 12 caliber defense. I think UCF has a very weak defense. Kansas ought to be able to score a bunch against UCF. They should be able to run the ball. The defensive front is very poor. They're big dudes, but they're not athletic at all. If you square up on them, you can run right around them. Kansas State did that, and KU could probably do the same thing. KU is a slight favorite in this game. It should be a high-scoring game. UCF, as I said, can score. They're not some, you know, rummy little program coming into the Big 12. This team's kind of been high-flying, scoring a bunch of points, and winning a bunch of games now for several years. So they expect to win. They have been, some media and some people around the program have been posting some pictures of Memorial Stadium and making fun of where they are playing. Now, this is the first real controversy we've had around anybody new coming into the league, as UCF fans are asking, what are we playing at, a construction site? What is this, an erector set? They're showing pictures of the exterior and parts of Memorial Stadium that are less than Big 12 quality. It's not a nice stadium. They got a lot of work to do at Kansas just to bring it up to where everyone else is. Forget like state of the art or doing something that is better than anybody else. They need hundreds of millions just to get Memorial Stadium where everybody else is. So I just find it interesting that UCF is talking trash before they get here. Look, it's not a specific player. It's not the official account. It's people, it's media and things around the program, but that means they're all talking about it. They all see it and they're all thinking about it. And the only warning here for Kansas is this is a team coming in that expects to win this game. This is not a team coming in thinking, okay, we're in the Big 12. We're going on a Big 12 road trip. We can't beat this team. All right, they expect to beat Kansas. And I think that can sometimes be a dangerous thing for even a program like KU, which is emerging, to see the UCF on a helmet or a uniform and not see Texas after playing Texas or being in a conference with OU and some of the teams that they play. You can't. Kansas is not at a point where they can take any snap of any game short of just perfectly serious. So the Jayhawks play UCF on Saturday. Kansas State plays Friday night at Oklahoma State. Injuries have been a big thing now with Kansas State, as they're, especially on the defensive side of the ball, replacing a lot of players with very young players. They were already young in the secondary. Daniel Green is out for the season. Their key defender at linebacker, he basically runs the defense. So they've been working on that on the off week. Chris Klieman said he's been practicing and working with his youngest players, and that typically that's what they do in their off week. They get some rest for the veteran players, and they really drill down and practice the younger players and try to bring them along and get them all the snaps at a faster pace. My question is, does that involve Avery Johnson, the quarterback? Did he spend the bye week getting the lion's share of the practice snaps? It seems to me maybe he should have. I mean, you've got a dinged up starting quarterback in Will Howard, who's nursing along a series of injuries. Perfect time to just go out there and give all the reps to the next guy. Will that be part of the package? Is there something different after the break, and was it planned all along? I think that's what K-State fans are going to be looking for. K-State is a huge 12-point favorite at Oklahoma State, a place where they don't win very often. And Oklahoma State's defense has been worse than LSU's. They've not been very good offensively either, but they've been really bad defensively. Like, what'd they give up to Iowa State? They give up 34 to Iowa State. Holy smokes, nobody gives up 34 to Iowa State. That hasn't happened since Brock Purdy was there. So Kansas State, a big favorite, and you have to believe if they don't, you know, lose the turnover battle in some dramatic way, they should be able to get out of Stillwater with another conference win. That game is 6:30 on ESPN on Friday night. All right, before we move on to the NFL, I want to let you know that KKHI is brought to you by Amazing Garage Floors, online at amazinggaragefloors.net. You got about a two-month period here into the first week of December. That is the perfect time of year to seal your concrete. It does not cost a lot. It is the best thing you can do for your sidewalks, your front porch, your driveway, to make it last a lifetime. Keep it from pocking and pitting and peeling and cracking and doing all the things that you don't want your concrete to do. This is a tremendous investment in your property. AmazingGarageFloors.net, 913 901-701-7139. Or tell them you want to get that garage floor done. They can do it still before winter hits. They can get you on the schedule and get you that brand new garage floor. They can also do other concrete areas in your house. Veteran owned and operated, you're going to love the product. It is amazing. That's why they call it AmazingGarageFloors.net. Wonderful weekend to do a little car shopping at Roberts Robinson in for a Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. They've got a really nice small town dealership is the way I describe it. There's no people in fancy three-piece suits. There's nobody fast-talking anybody at Roberts Robinson. It's laid back. It's comfortable. They're going to offer you a cup of coffee, and let's talk about the Chevy Silverado you'd like to buy. And if we don't have it right here, we'll find it or we'll build it for you. They're going to apply every single discount available, right? And they're going to give you a lifetime warranty free. So they're going to save you money. They're going to get you exactly what you want and save you money. If you don't want to drive to Excelsior Springs, that's not a problem. Just call out my buddy Tim Trader on the phone. Ask for Tim, 816-826-1563. Say, I'm looking for a specific Chevy, Buick, or GMC. Can you help me out, Tim? He can work his magic from a distance. 816-826-1563. If you were in the market for a Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, please consider my friends at Roberts Robinson. They are great American patriots. They love sports like you do, and they treat you fairly. Can't ask for much more than that. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is our pest control company right here at Casa de Keatsman. We've been with them, I think it's probably 25 years now. It's very close to 25 years that Aaron and his team have been servicing our homes, and we love their service. We really love the fact that when you sign up for the annual service, if you have any issue, if you see any critter between your appointments, they come out for free and take care of it. You're like, oh, we just got some ants by our kitchen sink or something. This happened several years ago at our old house. Between treatments, he goes, yeah, we're getting a lot of calls about ants. We'll be right out. And they came out that afternoon and treated it. Figured out where they were getting in, treated it down there by the ground, and we had no more ants in our kitchen sink. They're just great at what they do. Advantage, Termite, and Pest Control, make the switch. Get the advantage right now. 913-768-8989. Anywhere in the KC metro area, it's Advantage, Termite, and Pest Control. Sunday, the Chiefs are in the late window, 325 against the Vikings on CBS. Kirk Cousins became a very popular figure this year because of the Netflix series that Patrick Mahomes was also part of called Quarterback. People have learned that Kirk Cousins is a good NFL player that clearly is not going to win a Super Bowl. He is and has made a lot of money. He's an exciting player, and he's capable of beating anyone. He is turnover prone. Last year, the Vikings played too many close games, but they won all of them. This year, they're playing too many close games, and they're losing all of them. They're 1-3, and all three of their losses are by one score. Nobody has pounded the Vikings. All right, this is a real football team. They won 13 games last year. The Chiefs can lose this game. Kirk Cousins has been, and the team have been turning the ball over at an astronomical rate. This is not a 1-3 football team. This isn't the Bears. It really isn't even the Jets. Kirk Cousins can flat light you up. Justin Jefferson was the best receiver in the NFL last year. This team has a lot of ways to beat you. You have to play well to beat the Vikings. The Chiefs have largely done that. But this is not a rummy. This is a team that everybody thought would challenge for their division title. They have just played really poor, sloppy football early this year against teams most people perceive they should beat. That's how you lose a bunch of one-score games. I can't tell you what the turnover ratio is going to be, but maybe more than any other game, other than the Charger games this year, more than any other games the Chiefs will play, this looks like one of those games where turnovers would make the difference. Look, you go play the Eagles, and you're like, okay, these teams are even. I'm not saying the Vikings are even. The Chiefs are above the Vikings. If there are no turnovers in the game, we expect the Chiefs to win by a touchdown, maybe 10 points. But if this is the game where the Vikings finally don't turn it over and the Chiefs do what they did Sunday night, they're not getting out with a win. Patrick Mahomes throws two picks, fumbles a snap, throws a third pick, and needs the referee to bail him out. They're not winning that game. I don't care how many yards Pacheco has. They're not beating the Vikings with what they did Sunday night. This is a better football team because they have a quarterback that could throw for 350 yards. Kirk Cousins is good. People like him. People like him now. They hated him before because he was Philip Rivers. He was Justin Herbert. He was an awful lot of quarterbacks that you watch play. Matthew Stafford, until he latched on with the Rams and won a Super Bowl. I still don't know that I put Stafford in a Super Bowl category, but he won one, so there it is. We've seen a lot of these quarterbacks that are good. Joe Burrow may be that guy. I don't know, but he got to one. We'll have to see. Joe Burrow just doesn't look very good at all. There's a lot of quarterbacks in this league that we watch that rack up yardage and look really good. Geno Smith did it last year in Seattle. He looked great. Okay? He got his team to the playoffs. That's good. Kirk Cousins maybe can get his team to the playoffs. You don't think of them as the kind of team that's a threat to win a Super Bowl. So Kirk Cousins has been panned by a lot of people. Like, yeah, he's just, yeah. But boy, people love him after Netflix. And why do they love him? They learned about his faith. They learned about his family. They learned about how he lives his life. And on Wednesday, Kirk Cousins did it again. Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm not sure which day. I'm sorry. The Minnesota Twins are in the playoffs. They won their first two games. They won their wild card series. We'll get to this more on this in a moment. The Twins are moving on to play the Astros in the division series in the American League. The Twins, as you know, won the Royals division. Kirk Cousins wants to take his wife and two kids to a game. He wants to take them to a game, but he doesn't want to be part of the spectacle. He doesn't want to take anything away from anybody, and he wants to give his children a normal experience. So he puts a hat on and sunglasses, and he goes online to a company like Tickets for Less, and he buys four tickets. He just buys four seats in there with everybody else. He didn't call in a favor. He didn't ask the Vikings to call the Twins and get him some VIP seats. They weren't in a suite, protected away from the fans. He wanted to take his children to a game. And he did. And he bought his own tickets, and somebody snapped a picture, and they put it on social media, and he wasn't looking for the attention. They asked him about it when he got back to the Vikings at the camp. They said, hey, you were at the game. So it had to be Tuesday. That would be their off day. They said, hey, what about this? He goes, yeah, it was really nice. He said, we had about an hour before we realized everybody noticed we were there, but people couldn't have been nicer. And we were happy to take some pictures and do whatever. This is a man. Look, I don't idolize anybody in sports. I always leave open the possibility that somebody's a fraud and they're perpetrating something upon us that they're not really, but it doesn't seem like Kirk Cousins is that guy. It looks like this is just the guy. Like maybe someday he's going to be your senator from Minnesota or something, and he'll be above everyone else that way. Look, he's too good a guy to ever run for office, but I think he could get elected. I think people look at him now and go, that's the kind of person we need, which is amazing because when you're that good and that dedicated, it's amazing he hasn't won more, I guess, to be quite honest about it, but that's a pretty cool deal. Chiefs, Vikings, 325 Sunday. Nick Bolton is back on the practice field. Cornerback Jalen Watson is back on the practice field. Limited. He's had a shoulder injury. They're back. That's good news. We'll see what happens with the Chiefs on Sunday. And on Friday, Lee Sterling will join us with his picks for all these games that we have just discussed. As I mentioned in Major League Baseball, the Diamondbacks won their series. There's a chance if the Diamondbacks keep going, I think they're going to have to beat the Dodgers. If they get to the National League Championship Series, the Diamondbacks could be playing while Spencer's getting married in Arizona. How cool is that? We're going to be out there in a couple of weeks. He gets married 2 weeks from tomorrow. So let's go Diamondbacks. Now they play division rival the Dodgers. And I always think these are tough matchups for the better team. The Dodgers are clearly better than the Diamondbacks. But who would want to play a division opponent in this round? Not me. Go Diamondbacks. The Phillies play Atlanta in the National League. The Twins play the Astros in the American League, and the Rangers play the Orioles. There's your division series in Major League Baseball. Poor Major League Baseball. They get the playoffs all set up. All right, and they play on these days of the week where there's no football to watch. And tonight's football, by the way, is unwatchable. It's the Bears and Commanders. Maybe there's a good college game or two, but Bears and Commanders. Baseball has no games. They had four three-game series, and all four were two-game sweeps, and it's over. And now nothing happens until Saturday. Poor Major League Baseball. Can't quite catch a break. One final sports note. Did you know Friday at the World Aquatics Championship in Berlin, this is the World Cup of swimming, the World Aquatics Championship in Berlin, the first open category competition is slated for transgenders to compete. They've ruled if you were born a man, you can't swim with the women. We've got an open category. They announced this in July. They took applications. They opened it up. They've got an open category. They're not calling it a trans category. It's open. So a lot of different people, maybe with a disability or whatever, could also compete. It's an open category. They have rules about what it is, but it's basically set up for, men that transition to women to go compete against each other. The first of its kind, a world championship on the line. A world championship is on the line. A legitimate world championship. Open category. They announced it in July. 3 months later, here we are. Friday's the big day. And it's canceled. It's canceled because no trans entered. Zero. It would seem the men transitioning to women don't want to compete against each other. Wait, what? Where's Leah Thomas? There's others. Where are they? How can this be? A World Aquatics Championship in Berlin has a special open category. Most specifically, it could be a woman transitioning to be a man. Good luck against the men. Oh, the trans don't like it. They don't want their own category. See, that's not what they're about. They're not for equality. They're not for acceptance. They're militant. They're about making us change our rules for them. They're about forcing something upon you that nobody wants. They have their own category, and they ain't going. Hard pass. That says everything you need to know about trans in sports. There's nothing. All this Leah Thomas controversy, that is all you need to know. Leah Thomas didn't enter. That's all you got to know about what they're doing. It's not about athletics. It's not about swimming. It's not about competition. It's none of those things. On to news we go. Brought to you by Window World. Simply the best for less. Hey, do yourself a favor. If you got some leaky windows, you saw some water coming in this year, call Window World, whether you have one window or 100. This is for home or office even. Window World is simply the best for less. They're American-made products with lifetime warranties. What else is there? 0% financing is available, and they win customer satisfaction awards constantly. Anywhere in Kansas, Missouri, parts of Iowa, windowskansascity.com, or call 816-799-0820. These folks will help you out at your lake house. If you have farm property, rural areas, this is not just a KC Metro thing. Window World, they have offices all over Kansas and Missouri and all over the region. This is a big company with lots of different places. Springfield, Missouri, you listening? Window World can help you. 816-799-0820. North Kansas City Dental, my appointment with Dr. Bush is next week. It is my biannual trek. He's the first dentist that's ever gotten me to come back every 6 months. And the reason I do it is they're gentle, they're fun. I like the man, genuinely like him as a friend. He's cool to talk to. It's a pleasant visit. And he's just making me a healthier person. That's a good thing. North Kansas City Dental, 816-471-2911. It's time for you to switch dentists to our conservative football fan dentist, the dentist of the Chiefs, Dr. Bill Bush, nkcdental.com. The Finch Knife Company is online at finchknifeco.com, now featuring the Stinger series of pocket knives, but you can see every series they've ever had at finchknifeco.com, or if you're out and about shopping this weekend, why not check them out in that beautiful case they have up in the sporting goods section up there by the guns and such at Shields in Overland Park. I say this every now and then. If you've not been to Shields, go. If you have a child or a grandchild, go to Shields and stop at the Ronald Reagan statue out front. That's a cool thing to do. Read it, go inside and shop, and know what kind of company you're supporting. Shields is not a sponsor and advertiser, but they've been great to Finch Knife Co. because they know what these guys are all about. They know what great Americans they are. We're all on the same page here, and it's cool stuff. So finchknifeco.com online or at Shields in Overland Park, the Bullet Hole in Mission Teague Tractor in Belton. On to the news, and Jim Jordan is emerging as the favorite to take over as Speaker of the House. If Vegas were handicapping this thing right now, Jim Jordan seems to be the majority favorite, Steve Scalise second, Trump seems to be a bit of a long shot, and I'm not sure why, but we've done that on the other podcast, so I'm not going to get into that. I think Trump I heard Steve Bannon say Trump for 100 days. That sounds great. Trump for 100 days sounds great. Let's get the budget done. Let's do all the end of the year deals so there's no omnibus spending. Let's get Trump in there, the art of the deal, doing the deal, getting it passed, working with the Senate, and sending it over to Joe Biden. Let's make a real difference. 100 days. Let's do it. I think that's kind of cool. Then you have lots of time to figure out who you want to be the speaker for the rest of the year. But Jim Jordan's emerging as the favorite. And they're not going to take a vote. I don't think they're going to take a vote until they have a consensus. I think they're going to get the consensus outside the House because they can't go through what they did before. They're going to have to line up and every single one of them is going to have to vote for who's nominated. And that's going to have to be that. There's no other way to do this. There's actually a possibility that Hakeem Jeffries could wind up being speaker if the Republicans really blow this, but they're not going to do that. They're going to do that. They're going to get on the same page. And that's going to be that. They're going to have to go with somebody more conservative. So it got me thinking about the parties. That's where I want to spend some time today on what's happening with party politics in the United States. And I'll bring this full circle at the end, but the headline here is there is only one party like the Democrats. The tail wags the dog. The really loud, militant minority on the far left dominates the party. And the reason they've done that is we all sit here and compliment the Democrats that they all stay together. Well, if the Republicans all stayed together, they would be run by the rhinos. There's a really interesting poll number that came out after this happened in the House. It was a flash poll. They did it in a day. Registered Republicans, by a 10-point margin, supported ousting Kevin McCarthy. Now think about that. These are registered Republicans. By a 10-point margin, 53% said oust him. 53% agreed with Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz is on the winning side of the Republican Party with what he did, which is crazy because we're watching all this hysteria. I watched Brian Kilmeade this morning pick a fight with one of the eight guys that voted against McCarthy, a conservative. He's just fighting with him. Laura Ingraham won't let Matt Gaetz talk. We're all these different, apparently, rhino Republicans. The people that are established in that part of the world still don't understand us. They know we're out here. They've watched us support Trump. They know what we're about, but they don't understand us. We want real change in Washington, D.C. We don't want people who say change and then go there and become part of the swamp and just enrich themselves. We're tired of that. We want Trump types in there taking over. And that's what's happening. But here's the difference between the Democrats and Republicans. The Democrat Party is run by the minority of their party. And I think what we just learned is the majority of the Republican Party is conservative. That's what we're learning. The majority of the Democrat Party isn't far left liberal. The majority of our party, if they want to call us far right, whatever. If you think the Constitution is far right, then I'm far right. That's how they describe us. They paint us as wackos because we love the Constitution and we love the traditions and excellence of our country. It's stupid and unfair that they say that, but they do. That's how our party's different than that one. But the proof is in the pudding. This was a winner for Matt Gaetz nationally. People like what he did, but the media don't because they're part of the problem. Fox News is part of the problem. They're all part of the problem. And this is all now coming out. And it got me thinking, what is the future of political parties? Well, the Democrats are clearly going to stay together and be run by their wackos. I don't know what happens to the Republican Party. Do 20% of these people branch off and go to the No Labels Party? Is that what Manchin is? Is he really a Republican that calls himself a Democrat that really is headed for No Labels? Is that what's next? I don't know where it's going. All I know is our party is fueled by conservatives. Reagan Republicans, Trump Republicans, America First Republicans. There's a story out this week that the Biden camp is now more worried about the Green Party than RFK Jr. All polling shows that RFK Jr. is taking the same amount of votes away from Biden as he is Trump, that it's about a 50-50 split, which is surprising. But the more he goes out there about anti-vax and all this stuff, the more conservatives hear RFK Jr., the more he gets. But what they're really worried about is the Green Party, Cornel West, getting on all 50 ballots, which it looks like he is. Cornel West is black. By the way, Cornel West has a lot of things that conservatives like. He wants to close the border. He wants paper ballot voting. He wants term limits. Cornel West has got some things that you'd look at him and go, no, but oh, it's kind of conservative. It doesn't matter. What Biden is worried about is he's black. Trump is peeling away black votes. They see that eroding. There are more and more conservative blacks every day. It's still not a very big number. But those that remain loyal to the Democrats, how many of those will just say, I think Biden sucks, I'm voting for Cornel West, the black dude? That's the scary part for Biden, not RFK Jr. It looks like RFK Jr. is going to split him down the middle. But are we headed to a system where we need more parties? And what does that look like in America? I don't really know. I've only known a two-party system my entire life. I don't know how the math shakes out. I don't know how the Electoral College shakes out. I don't know how the House shakes out. I know this. Nebraska needs to change their electoral votes because they have the one that usually goes the other way in the city, in Omaha. And it's ridiculous that they don't change the way they do things in Nebraska because one matters. Every single Electoral College vote matters. But this is going to be really interesting. The Democrat Party is a totally unique party. They're the one that stays together, and you can think that's great, but that party, the left part of their party is taking them so far left, Americans are recognizing that. If you're seeing polls where Trump is up 10 on Biden, America is seeing what the liberal left is, and they don't like the looks of it. Great news for the Country Club Plaza in Kansas City. HP Village Partners is purchasing it, has purchased it. These are friends of the Hunt family, Clark Hunt, Gracie Hunt. They might also be investors in this group because it's partners. Clearly, these folks, they're close to the Hunts. They're in real estate. The Hunts are also in real estate. They know them. They understand Kansas City, and they've purchased the Country Club Plaza. I don't see how this can be bad. The plaza's been in real trouble, and it needs real help. And if we need help from good conservatives that understand real estate in Texas to come to Kansas City, Missouri, and clean something up, I'll take it. I'll take the shot here. I love the Country Club Plaza. I've mentioned to you before, my teenage memories. When I started to drive at 15, I lived close enough to the plaza that we would sneak down there. And I had this girl that I really liked, that I wanted to be my girlfriend, but I could never really get her to be my girlfriend. I kissed her a couple of times. But she liked to play tennis. And so I learned to play tennis because she liked to play tennis. We had these courts in Mission by the pool. We played there a couple of times. But it was really special if I picked her up and we went and played tennis on the plaza. 15, 16 years old. Wasn't supposed to be driving to play tennis when I was 15. I know that. But I had the restricted permit. I could always tell them I was going to work at the tennis center. So we did that. And I loved the plaza and I loved it ever since then. We used to go to movies there. Get ice cream, really great American innocent stuff growing up. It has a special place in my heart. And what's happened to it is just disgusting. And we don't go there very often anymore. I've got my fingers crossed that these folks from Texas know what they're doing. HP Village Partners now own the Country Club Plaza. I'm rooting for them. I think they need more family-friendly things. They need more entertainment and less shopping. The whole shopping world's going to Amazon. Have your big anchor tenants, your cool stores that are nowhere else in Kansas City, and more entertainment options. They need things like that. When I went to the plaza, I went there to play tennis, for crying out loud. It was just a cool place. We couldn't afford to go to the restaurants. That wasn't it. You got to make it a community place again, and I'm hopeful that's what they'll do. Joe Biden's dog Commander has bitten a 12th person. This was a staffer. This is a joke. This is a joke. Okay? If you can't control your dog, you can't be this. To me, this is disqualifying as president of the United States. If you can't keep your dog from biting the Secret Service and staffers, you have there's no chance you should be president of the United States. None. Zero. They can't do anything about it. They haven't brought in an expert. They could bring in, there's a guy in New York that says he'd love to go there and could fix the dog in just a short period of time, but it's a bad breed for the White House. It's a German Shepherd, which is a guard dog. It's an aggressive dog. And apparently there's a rift between the Biden people and the Secret Service, and the dog senses that, and he bites the Secret Service. This latest one they said was staffer. Okay, whatever. Peter Ducey goes to the news conference, Karine Jean-Pierre, and says, we have reports of 12 now known public bitings by Commander. How many times has Commander bitten the Bidens? And what did Karine Jean-Pierre say? She didn't immediately say zero, for crying out loud, zero. She did not say that. She said, I would refer you to the Secret Service and the First Lady's office. The First Lady's office? Joe Biden's dog bit Jill? And they kept it. That was enough. After the question was asked about did they bite the Bidens, because it's going to have to come up, it's going to have to be answered at some point. Are you such incompetent people that you have a pet in your residence and it bites you? Your dog doesn't bite you. Commander has now been removed from the White House campus, finally. Send him to a rehab place. Find him a good home. Get him away from the Bidens. This is the worst thing you could ever say about Joe and Jill Biden. There's nothing more. I've said before, if he applied for the job as Walmart greeter, he wouldn't get it. Anybody else that applied would get it, not him. These people, at this point in their lives, are incapable of having a dog. Think about that for a second. The people, the man running our country and his enabling wife, are not capable of owning a dog. This should be a bigger story than it is. I've buried it. We're toward the end of the podcast, and I've buried it. How can that possibly be? How can you be president of the United States and you're not even capable of having a dog? Get the man some goldfish, please. He'll overfeed him. He'll kill him. He'll kill the goldfish. He'll over there. Or not remember where you fed him or not, dump the whole thing in there, and their stomachs will just explode. My God. Our final is brought to you by Amini's. I was at Amini's yesterday. Hey, here's what they wanted me to pass on to you at Amini's. Thank you so much for coming in. They say many of you are coming in there and you're getting patio furniture, bar stools. They have these new saunas. If you're building a home or if you've always wanted a sauna, there are multiple options of what you can do with these saunas. They just started stocking them at Amini's. They've been selling them in St. Louis for a while. R. Ash Amini, the owner of Amini's, he's got like knee pain, arthritis, or he's got problems with his knees. It's sort of just like chronic tightness and stiffness and stuff. He gets in his sauna every day. He bought one of these things. And he gets in his sauna every day for a few minutes, and his knee pain is gone, and his joint pain is better. And he said, wow, I should put these in a store. And he put them in St. Louis first, and he sold a few, and he goes, we're going to help some people here. So they've got them in the Kansas City store now if you want to go see them. If you've thought about a sauna in your home, these can be standalone or built in. Either way, much cheaper than building a custom sauna in your house. If you think this is good for your health, go check them out at Amini's. 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. I didn't go in there to see the saunas. I didn't know they had them until I got in there yesterday. But that's a great idea for people with like joint pain and stuff. Get in there, sweat it out, get the toxins out. And it's really, really good for like arthritis and joint pain and things like that. Amini's, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Joslyn's Jewelry is just down the road from there, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. Guys, it's not too early to start thinking about Christmas. They got all kinds of sparkly, shiny things in there at Joslyn's. Tell them I said hello when you visit Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. And Cross Kitchens is online at Cross Kitchens KC. They are Kansas City's remodeler. No job too big or too small. They'll do an entire remodel of your home or just replace your countertops. CrossKitchensKC.com, 816-898-7047. Our final is a lesson in how the mighty have fallen, how you get older and it's hard to sustain who you are and you're not the coolest thing and you're not in demand and all those things. And our classic example is LeBron James. LeBron James took to Twitter and trolled Travis and Jason Kelce for an invite onto their podcast. He said, I'm not even the king of Northeast Ohio anymore. You guys are. Seriously, I want to come on your podcast. It's awesome. You guys are really cool. And LeBron James just got bashed. I mean, trashed and bashed all over social media that LeBron James had to go to Twitter. Well, first of all, he's not a smart man, and troll to get an invite. He really wants to go on. He's from Ohio. The Kelseys are from Ohio. He wants to go on. He's trying to fix his image in Ohio. The Kelseys can help him with his image in Ohio. And he wants some of that. That ain't how you do it. This is how dumb he is. You go social and you let the whole world rip you and see how desperate you are. Have your agent call Kelsey's agent and get an invite on. Nobody will know. How dumb is that? These people are really stupid. I mean, he's getting clobbered for this thing. I would say this about Travis Kelce. I think we're in Travis Kelce's 15 minutes of white hot fame. That's what I think. This is hard to sustain. He's 33, he's not 23, which means if and when he retires from football in a couple of years, he may have a very popular podcast. He may get hired by a network, make millions of dollars. I'm not saying Travis Kelce's not going to be a huge success. I'm just saying the spotlight he's in right now won't last. And these may be two really understanding people who understand the industry they're in and understand that when you're 33 and a singer, you're no longer 19 and a singer. When you're 33 and a tight end, you're no longer 22 and a tight end. And know that they're not always going to be this famous. It fades. You just don't sustain this. Will Taylor Swift always sell out crowds? Yes. Will Travis Kelce always have work as an analyst or whatever? Yes. I'm not saying they're going to go away. I'm just saying this is the white hot part for them. This is it. LeBron's certainly been there, and he misses it, and he wants back by being on Travis Kelce's podcast. Who'da thunk? Hey, if you want to sign up and be a patron at KKHI, we've done 3 patron podcasts already this week. We're doing it, and they've been really good. You get all of them when you sign up. If you sign up now, you'll get Lee Sterling's free Thursday night pick. He won last week. So if you want the free Thursday night selection, you'll get that. We'll put that podcast up a little bit later on Thursday. Just get on your desktop or laptop, go to kkhisissues.com, click on Become a Patron. It's only $5 to support the podcast. You get all these bonus premium content podcasts, and we do a newsletter once a week. We would love to have you in the fold. Love to have you in. I'll send you last week's newsletter if you sign up this week, and we'll get that to you right away. Go to kkhasissues.com. That's kkhasissues.com, and click on Become a Patron at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.